Ashley Morgan with something called Cornbread. It's the title track of his 1965 album, featuring Morgan, of course, on trumpet, Herbie Hancock on piano, Billy Higgins on drums, Jackie McLean on alto sax, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, and Larry Ridley on bass. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and let's get it together here and start moving. I'm talking to myself to persuade myself to start moving, because to be very honest, I don't feel like moving. I really don't. But what I want to talk about today is that today is, well, I should say, let me get my notes here. Oh my goodness. I've had so many technical things go wrong with me today, but that's just me. I want to ask the question, what is Malcolm X's message to us today? 56 years ago today, the Black world was shaken and angry to its core with the horror of the brutal assassination of Malcolm X as he prepared to give a talk at the Audubon Ballroom in Manhattan. He was, on many levels at that time, evolving. What does that mean? It means that he had already come to the notice of the world. But he was getting better and better at conveying messages about the reality of the conditions under which we all found ourselves living in. And also, it was a time in which there was a lot of undercurrent going on, a lot of internal strife. Even though people now, today, are kind of reluctant to admit it, but at that time, there was a lot of internal strife. Much of it having to do with jealousy, much of it having to do with misunderstanding. You know, here is this young man who, when he presented himself, could relate to practically anybody and relate using the experience that we all shared. We all kind of knew what was happening with us as a group. All over the world, we were involved in a strife-torn situation. But here was this young man who came to the Black world and began to relate back to us. He began to lift this mirror up to the Black world and to ask it, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because if you are, let me tell you what I'm seeing. And let me tell you that we're running out of time to fix our dilemma. We're running out of time. We have so much in common, but we also have so much strife among us, which is the story of most all beleaguered people. Even as you suffer, you know that there is more suffering to come, because now we are a group within a group. There's suffering going on, and then there's more suffering happening, because more suffering is to come our way. What is clear is that at the time of his assassination, Malcolm, on many levels, had been evolving. He had been developing. And that itself set people off. Many people. Who is this guy anyway? Who is he to lecture to us about what it is we are experiencing and what it is we ought to do in the situation that we find ourselves in collectively? So he was evolving even as a speaker and telling people, facing them with the facts of what daily life was like and why it was the way it was. Very uncomfortable, because he held the mirror directly to the faces of people and said, this is the situation. And we didn't get here accidentally. We didn't get into this dilemma accidentally. So he was getting more and more pragmatic in his teaching, less and less dogmatic, as he guided his audiences masterfully to logical thought and to the logic of understanding that in order to progress, we had to confront internal contradictions. That upset quite a few people. And it caused more than just upset, that it created a new undercurrent. And we can talk about what that was. If you remember, or if you care to remember, but there were people who decided that Malcolm X himself should be blamed. He created the trouble. He stirred up the pot. And he was blaming, in large measure, he was blaming people themselves for creating, in large measure, the contradictions that we now were faced with as a people, and which were preventing us from moving forward as a people. I know it is a bit uncomfortable to look, even now, after all these years have passed, it is uncomfortable to look at our situation and not want to say, well, it came from the outside in. The forces against Black America and Black people all over the world, the forces came from the outside. Negative forces came from the outside in. But he was saying, no, that's one part of it. The other part of it is, what are we doing? Why are we accepting programming to self-destruct? Why do we not see it that way? So we want to talk about that today. Just to make sure that we don't let this window of opportunity pass without paying and acknowledging, without paying homage to and acknowledging one of the greatest influencers of thought that as a world community we have had. What are your thoughts about it? What would Malcolm say to us today? What would the message be? What would he have to tell us today that he did not get to finish telling us? That's the question. We don't know for sure what he would tell us, but we have had enough experience. We have had enough contact. We have had enough evidence that he was all about the community and trying to bring it to a level of self-analysis and criticism in the effort of understanding that part of the challenge that we will always have is facing internal contradictions. What are your thoughts about that on this day today? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. Do you think you have an idea based on what you have read, what you have heard, what you have even seen in terms of this master teacher raising the mirror of self-criticism and analysis directly in front of us so that we can look at it ourselves and tell what it is you think his message would be to us today? Let's try that and see how far you get and see how much on point you still might be. 888-874-4888. I'm looking for, okay, there we go. I see messages. I can now see the messages. Okay. Well, that's a great improvement. Before I wasn't seeing anything. But now I do see some messages. It's important to appreciate Malcolm X specifically for this role that he played. Not just teaching, but helping us also to understand how we can function better and be of greater use to ourselves and our community by looking at internal contradictions and what roles we play. Would we have been farther along? Would we have accomplished a lot more by being self-critical and heeding the message that he also stressed to us, that that was a necessary thing for us to do? And he did it by example. He didn't hide it. He didn't excuse it. He said, we also have to look at this. All right, Mama from Elizabeth, New York, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Mama Elizabeth from New York.
Oh, can you hear me? Mama Elizabeth, okay.
Okay,
Mama from Elizabeth, New York. Okay, you're on the air.
We love you very much. It's going to be short and sweet, hopefully. I was there during the doing his development to the highest degree that was allowed him to become for us. But that Sunday, I had some fantastic Chinese restaurant headache from the night before, so I didn't go on that day when he was electrocuted. What I want to say is that up today, we can forget about the Democrats and Republicans. They've shown their asses to us all. It's not too much different.
Okay, you want to watch your language.
Oh,
that would help.
Okay, I didn't know that was a no-no word. Okay, the donkey is behind. Okay, what else did I want to say?
Let me repeat the question. What do you think he would be telling us today? What would the message be that he would ask us to consider today?
By any positive means necessary. He did change it. In the beginning, he said, by any means necessary. Then he changed it and said, by any positive means necessary. And people forgot that he said, by any positive means necessary. That means by strapping yourself with the thunder, the long thunder stick and the short thunder stick, okay? And if other people can go around carrying them without a license and whatnot, we need a license where we can carry it. Even grandmas. Like 81-year-old grandmas like myself, we have to learn. And he mentions that in Israel they have a fantastic program for the young ladies. When they're 18, they must join the military to learn about these various things. We don't have this in our community. You know, they go into a shooting range and they're able to carry their guns around and down south and what have you. Well, and so we have to learn from past experience. We have to be strapped, legally strapped, and forget about the Democrats and Republicans. The best thing we got going for now is the Green Party. We gotta school them.
All right, you're off target today. I'm so sorry to say, but I was hoping that you could get to the question, as opposed to telling us what we ought to do. I'm asking, what do you think his message would be to us today? And I can't say what it would be, but I could say that it probably would not be about being strapped and, you know, having guns. I can't say that I think that that's the message he would give us today. But thanks for getting us started. Gary from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Blue. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Wonderful. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not so sure Malcolm's message would be much different than it was when he was alive towards the end of his life. I see, frankly, the condition of Black people in this country seems to be in a worse state than it was when he was around. I think he would be talking about using the political system much more effectively and not, used to call them the Dixiecrats, but now they're the Democrats. But the Democrats and Republicans, if one of us have a particular to the Black community, he would tell us more effectively about utilizing the political system. He would talk about economics, fostering more Black businesses, saving more money, recycling our dollar more effectively. He would tell us about protecting our women, which are even more vulnerable today. He would tell us the message would pretty much be the same. The one he would tell us also about, Steve just declared that he's going to be moving permanently to Ghana. But he would probably talk about, our connection with the continent, stimulating that, more business and economic ties and possibly more residential ties where more of us would go to the continent. I don't think his message is that much. It would be that much different. The one thing that I was thinking that might be a little bit different because it's changed a lot since he was around was we have much more millionaires and billionaires in the Black community through the arts and entertainment and sports arena. He might be talking more strategically about how to utilize those resources to facilitate some of the strategies that he had, talked about in all those areas I just mentioned.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for contributing today. Henry from Chicago, how are you? What would Malcolm's message be to us today, you think?
Greetings, Utrice, and greetings to the PRN and Deep Stories listeners. I think today Malcolm X will probably uncover a lot of things that we probably might not see that would be part of the white supremacist system. You know, one of the things that Malcolm has always evolved into was somebody who can see through the racist system that he was living in, and not just in the, you know, not just pointing out the fact that the races are just, you know, people in the Klan or Nazis or stuff like that. You know, it's like he very much unpacked the system politically, economically, and in all different ways. And I think today he will probably be unpacking it in a way where we probably don't even see it right now of what, you know, what the system is doing. So I got a feeling he'll probably tell us something that we don't know nothing about.
Could you give us an example of what that something would be?
Well, I mean, I would figure that since Malcolm was so politically keen, he would definitely be on the Democratic Party right now, as one of those racist institutions that he always spoke up against. But I mean, he said that back, you know, back when he was alive. So I would probably say that mainstream media, and I would even venture to say most mainstream black media would probably hate him for doing that right now.
Hmm. Why?
Because so many black people in mainstream media is tied to the Democratic Party. And you speak against the Democratic Party, you get ostracized for that. And, you know, unfortunately, Malcolm would probably not be very much liked among, especially among black elites, since they're basically getting, you know, a lot of money from the Democratic Party. But I would venture to say that, you know how it goes. We all love everybody when they're dead. But if Malcolm was alive today, he would not be so much revered as he is right now.
Hmm. You think he would be ostracized and people would be encouraged to isolate the people who listened to him?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, wow. I don't see it any other way. You know, I would venture to say that he will probably be worsely ostracized than, like, say, somebody like Minister Farrakhan.
That's interesting. Well, thank you for that. I hope somebody reacts to what you just offered us here, because it's one of the things that he routinely did, which was examine our condition in terms of internal contradictions, pointing out contradictions that are impeding our collective progress. So it's a very interesting thing that you should say that today. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888. The question is very simple and straightforward. As we note the passing of, well, the assassination of Malcolm X, and we are conjecturing, based on what we knew of him, what he had told us and what he had cautioned us about, what would his advice to us be today? Nathaniel from L.A., you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Yatrice. Greetings to you and the PRN audience. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I heard a speech one time by Malcolm X where he said, and I believe he would say the same thing today, whether or not we get through to the people, I guess I'm basically asking about that. But anyway, the speech was essentially him saying, word for word, he said, America does not practice democracy. It may practice democracy in a way that makes people think it's democracy, but actually America is practicing great hypocrisy in reality, not real democracy. And I believe he would say the same thing today.
So if you think he's going to say something like that today, what are you prepared to answer to his, I'm assuming that he's alive and he's hearing your criticism, how would he respond to your criticism?
I think he would say that Americans of all stripes did not heed his call back then when he said that, because they fell for and fall for what, for lack of a better term, the same old okey-doke. We got the vote here. We got this candidate here. Once they say they do this and do that for us when they get in office, they do completely the opposite, and they work for, as David says, the ruling class. And if anyone says there's not a ruling class above and beyond the political class in this country, they really just don't know what's going on.
Do you think we'd be ready to hear a criticism like that, insofar as it is something he referred to quite a lot, quite frequently in his talks? He always talked about the contradictions within that are impeding our progress.
Yes. Yes. Are you asking me to carry on?
Yes.
I heard something over the weekend about a union situation at a Nissan plant in, I believe it was Missouri. They were trying to organize the workers there. And this researcher, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, and she wrote a book about it. I'll get that information and get it to you guys later. But anyway, she said that when she went and talked to the people or heard what was going on, she observed them. She said that the white workers didn't want to unionize, but the black workers did. And the reason for them not, the white workers not wanting to organize, was because they were getting the best jobs already, and the black workers were not getting them. So therefore, they didn't need a union. They didn't want a union because they were being treated just right. Now, to me, that says there are some people and some ways that they're just splitting the people apart, divided and conquered, the same old thing for the past 300 years, the same old thing, same old thing. And in being that way, I think the white workers of this country get that token and they say, oh, it's all right that 9/10 of all the great jobs that we used to have and great factories that we used to have in this country, it's okay to ship those jobs to China. It's okay to ship those factories to China because we're going to get all the good jobs anyway. And we wind up with a poorer country. We wind up with a poorer country, not only money-wise and wealth-wise, but consciousness-wise and striving for a better society-wise, for lack of better terms.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. David from Brooklyn, your name was just mentioned.
Yes, thank you very much.
But here you are.
I'll get back to the question. I'm not going to yammer. What I think, today he would be saying essentially the same things he has said when he was alive. He would say these things. I think, though, he might add that for African Americans in this country, commonly called black people, get out of these jive political parties like the Democrats and the Republicans. And I say that because at one time, African Americans belonged to the Republican Party, and then they switched to the Democrat Party. Now, he would say those things just before the later date assassination. I say this because the ruling class would not let him go on with that. They assassinate you one way or the other, either economically or physically, but no way would the ruling class let him go on. And I think that the thing that answers your question, he would incite the victims of this racist system to get out of those parties that are owned completely by the ruling class. There's no party that represents the people that is the Viable Party. I think that's what he would say.
What do you think if he were to, let's say, advance that idea? What do you think the response would be?
Well, the response would be varied. The masses of people are so hypnotized, that includes so-called black people and so-called white people, they are so confused and hypnotized, I've met them in many places all over the place, that they don't understand what is happening to them. So the response would be for most of them, oh no, you got to stick. I've talked to them. Oh, you got to stick with the Democrat Party. Biden is better than Trump, and oh, Biden is got. You know, I've talked with these people, and some of them are so intellectually damaged by the people that run this system that they can't think straight. So that would be the reaction for a significant number of people. They're wedded to the enemy's party, and they don't understand there's no future whatsoever in doing the same thing and thinking you're going to get a good result later on. So that's what I think he would get across, and that's before the next assassination would come. Because any time the ruling class has someone like Malcolm or Dr. King or anyone like that, the aim is to assassinate you one way or the other, either physically or economically or whichever way they can do it. So that's what I think.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888. We're talking about the fact that 56 years ago, Malcolm X was brutally assassinated at the Audubon Ballroom as he prepared to give a talk. And we are conjecturing based on what we know or knew of Malcolm X. We're conjecturing what he might have to say to us today, to advise us and about how we navigate systems today to get from whichever system it is that we target that which we need. Kevin from New York, what do you think Malcolm X would have to say to us today?
Good afternoon, Sister Lee. Thank you for doing
good afternoon.
What you do and have been doing, and I guess we'll continue to do it too, as long as I'm here. I think Brother Malcolm would inspire us to do.
Could you do this? Could you do this? You need to talk directly into your mouthpiece because you're going up and down and in and out, and the sound is uneven.
Okay. Is this better?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. I think Brother Malcolm would inspire us encourage us to do business with one another, to start businesses, to provide the things that we need in our community, some of them initially, and support each other and to not say if there's a minor mishap there, I'll never do business with them again, as has been traditionally said by many people. To continue to support ourselves and building up the community. And when we see something wrong, to police ourselves in our own community. So we don't have to have the police coming from the outside to disrupt and to, at times, murder, what I consider murder. Individuals that are not guilty of a crime to be murdered for. We should help ourselves. I think that would be Malcolm's message.
Would you be inclined to follow that message?
Yes. Yes. Without question. Yes.
What would be the advantage of following or fulfilling that message?
It would be advantageous for us as a community to preserve ourselves, not being killed, creating greater moral restraints, a set of moral restraints that would be an example to others in the community, the youth, the elders, the in-betweens, to build a stronger community and not just to wait for other people to do it for us, to help ourselves.
Thank you. Thanks for contributing this today. Thank you. 888-874-4888. We're conjecturing, of course, but we are conjecturing based on what little time we had for instruction from Malcolm X about what we need to do, how we need to navigate in the world generally, but specifically in our world. What does it mean to have a new approach and to examine for internal contradictions? Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
I sincerely hope your condition continues to improve.
Thank you.
I say that every time because Gary Null talked about your condition one time, and I always think about that. Now, going to Malcolm X.
I'm hanging in. I'm doing okay.
Very, very good. Now, about Malcolm X, I was living in that time, so I might have just a little more insight than the average person. If you look at Malcolm, he at that particular time, he was talking about unity and the power in our unity. I'm going to give you an example. He had been expelled from the Nation of Islam for some comments he made after Kennedy died, right? So after that,
yes,
he formed his own organization, and that was called Organization of Afro-American Unity. So his theme, just as well back there, it would be the same today, unity. He said, I'm going to put my religious differences aside. That's between me and my God. He said, because we from too many of them. And when we get into our religions, then that'll, he didn't say this, but he implied this, that would cause the problems with us. But he said, put your religions aside and come together. He said, that's my religion. That's between me and my God. And then at that particular time when he was expelled from the Nation of Islam, he did a lot of traveling. And at that particular time, a lot of countries in what they call Africa, that's not the real name of it. Africa is the name of Leo and Sergio Africano, two Italian explorers. They put their name on our homeland, and that's the homeland of humanity, what they call today.
But don't get diverted. Continue with your point.
Okay. At that particular time, a lot of the countries on the continent were struggling for their independence. And Malcolm visited all those places, And he talked to those people, and they thought very highly of him. So what he was trying to do, the main thing was come together. He understood the power that we had in unity. And I'm going to just give you a brief example. I hope I'm not getting too far from the point. When I was living in Bed-Stuyvesant on one particular block, the homeowners on there, if you go in that one particular block, it was worth millions of dollars, but they weren't united. So we had some people from the Arab world that had a store on the corner. Had these people, our people, put their money together, they could have had their own store. They were brothers, too, and they was all right, good people. But the main theme of his whole thing was unity, and that's what scared the American system, and that's why they had him killed. And then to keep us divided, they made it seem like it was the Nation of Islam that killed him, but as Dick Gregory in one of his speeches told you, the FBI did that. The FBI had set that thing up and had guns up in the ceiling, and they're the ones that killed Malcolm and not those people that they accused of killing him. Hope that shed a little light, but his whole thing, he would say today, unity, the strength is in our unity, and we come together. And he had an organization called the Organization of Afro-American Unity. So the key is unity. You bring the people together, then you can do something. And that's why the American European community feared him so much, because they wouldn't have that power over the so-called black community if everyone united. Hope that shed a little insight.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution today. Thank you.
You're very
E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello. You're on the air.
Yes. I don't know if Malcolm X would say this, but I would hope that he would say it, that he would address the white people of this nation and tell them that if they don't wake up and start helping the black people out, that they're going to face the same outcome in the very near future. If they don't stop allowing the ruling class to divide us into little groups so that they can stay in power and brutalize us, and if the white people don't stand up for the black people that are being brutalized just because they think they have special preference, well, they've been tricked all along by people like Lyndon Baines Johnson, who said if you could trick somebody into believing something that is false is true, or that something that's true is false, then you got them right in the palm of your hand, and you can get them to do anything you want them to do. So that's what I would hope that he would say. But maybe it would take a white man to say that. Because that's the only way I see us out of this mess. They should have never bought into it in the start. As soon as they saw black people being treated brutally, they should have helped them and joined them and not taken this white preference stuff. That's what destroyed everything. That's what got the division going, and that's why we're in this position we are now. And the chances of that happening, Eutrice, are very small. And it really saddens me. I don't know what else to say.
Well, you said a mouthful, and it is important that we listen to what you just said, because it was right on point. Thank you very much, E, for calling in and contributing today. G from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, okay. You talk about discrepancies and that, how would Malcolm X deal with that. I think one thing he would tell people is to say to them to look at the deep history of America and don't get caught up in, you know, all the activities and all the dates and places, but learn to discern what certain actions mean, especially for the current situation. learn to see how America really is an imperialist state, and that it takes advantage of people, not only in other countries, but right here. And it gets you on a three-card money kind of game where you think you're getting something, but you often are not. So I would say that don't be tricked and fooled. So that's probably a message he had given before. Learn to see for yourself the messages that are meant to mislead you. Also, I think if he had lived, maybe he would say something about letting people into organizations when you may not know them well enough. You know, learn to really check people out. And also learn to determine for yourself what is your reason for joining an organization or joining a system. Are you really prepared to go all the way in an organization that you're intending to join? How serious are you? How committed are you? You know, judging the time that's at hand and what level of seriousness you really need, so that when times get tough, you can at least say that your commitment matched and gave you the strength to keep going on. Hello?
Thank you. Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
Deeply. Thank you very much for your contribution today.
Thank you.
Thanks. Steve from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good day, Ms. Lead. Steve from
good
Brooklyn.
Good day.
Okay, you previously had a caller who emphasized that he will be calling for unity. But a lot of times people call for unity without addressing the contradictions in our community. I believe Malcolm X will make this quote, which I found recently yesterday on the internet, which he stated, and I will hang up. He stated that we need more light about each other. Light creates understanding. Understanding creates love. Love creates patience, and patience creates unity. That was by Malcolm X. I never read that quote before, so I believe that's what he would be saying today. That's it.
How do you think that would help us as a whole?
I believe right now there's so much self-hate. I'm calling as a person under 50 years old. And there's just so much distrust in the community I find right now than ever before. So I believe that if we value each other and see the just our goodness in each other, it will make a big difference. That's what I feel.
Okay. I think you have a strong point there. Thank you very much for calling in and contributing. Jackie from Brooklyn, you don't have much time, I'm afraid, but you do have some time. Jackie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, good afternoon. I was
muting
my phone. All right. Good afternoon to you and the PRN family. And I wanted to call in about this comment that you're asking about Malcolm X. If we read or listen to most of his speeches, they are still very much on point today. But one thing about Malcolm X is that he evolved into a much broader concept of political and world, economic, human rights, and all kind of other issues that when he initially started with the Nation of Islam, his view was narrower. But as he grew in his perspective and his travel and embracing Islam and making Hajj and all the things that happened in his life, his focus was broader. I think that both he and Dr. King sort of joined points on the issue of economic justice, oppression of workers, and discrimination. And I think that's one of the reasons, beside the FBI and the police department were after him, too. I don't know if you want me to go into all that, but anyway.
Well, you don't have very much time, so you have to
kind of... Okay, so I won't go into that, but I feel that if we listen to him, his speeches and everything, even up till today, he was already telling us in his own prophetic way that there's so many things in our communities which has already been addressed that still need to be completed today. Economics, self-reliance, community respect, all these kinds of things, restoration of the family, moral dictates, and as many things that we are still suffering from. I think what happened...
We'll have to leave it there because we're out of time completely.
All right.
So,
all right. Thank you for your question.
We'll continue on another day. We'll certainly continue because there are people also wanting to add their voice to this particular subject. But thank you. Thank you for contributing. Thank you all for contributing today. And that brings us to the end of our program. We will return to each other and let's see what we're going to be talking about again. Bye-bye.